Welcome to part two of our podcast with Lyle G on the business of consulting.
If you guys don't mind, I'd like to talk briefly about billing because I think it's a very tricky perspective for a contractor, specifically a newer one, which is I got some very good advice, which is essentially what you said, Angela, but that's half of the situation, right? So the other half is bill for every hour you work. Okay. So on the one hand, don't bill for stuff that's not value. Don't bill for stuff that's not, you know, like you said, that's not actual work for the company. That's not generating results. On the other hand, don't let companies ask you to do things off the clock.
I agree.
Right. So there is, and it's a fine balance. It's a fine balance, right? And I think that's a very challenging nuance for newer consultants to kind of suss out, right? So to your point, yeah, I set up my home office. Do I charge? Hell no. You absolutely don't charge that because you're not doing anything for Company X. Company X doesn't care that you went to IKEA and bought a chair. They don't care. They don't care.
Right? They don't. It didn't help them at all.
Didn't help them. That didn't help their job, their tasks in any way. However, if Company X is like, well, you know, Lyle, we need you to review these 12 MVRs, right? But it's okay. Only review the first four on the clock. Mm-mm. Hell no, right? As a contractor, your time is the only thing that you have that has value, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm spending time on Company X's stuff and it's like, hey, this should only take you an hour. And I'm like, these MVRs are junk, right? It's taken me 4 hours to do this. Now, I know at this point in my career, I know that I'm going to let my boss know or let my manager know and be like, listen, I'm at MVR 2 out of 12. I've spent my hour that y'all told me to spend, right? What do you want to do? But
that's the key.
Do not work for free. But I do think that communication is absolutely the key, right? Because
that is
oftentimes,
absolutely,
you know,
the key.
Yeah. So it's, you know, so it's a situation where it is tricky. And I think it's kind of a dark art or an opaque science to bill appropriately for a lot of people. They're just like, I just know how to bill. Well, bill for the hours of work, you know.
Yeah. And the scheduling as well can tie into that too. As a contractor or consultant, you're supposed to be able to dictate your own schedule, right. You know, outside of things that have to happen. Like if you have site visits, it has to happen when the site's open, right? During certain hours, but you're supposed to be able to schedule your own things. And outside of maybe the occasional team meeting or something, you're not supposed to have dictated to you a regular schedule. So that's another thing to consider as a consultant. There's a little more flexibility there for when you get the work done versus perm. Sometimes it's a little less flexible.
That's absolutely right. Like I'm a creature of the night, right? Apparently I'm a vampire, but I would have a burst of efficiency from like 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, right? No one's open for that, but that's, I would often do MVR review, or I would do, you know, I would do some of my data review, some of my data integrity type stuff. And I would do it late at night because it worked great for me, just worked great for kind of my temperament. But, you know, I think that's with contracting, you can be flexible around hours and that's a huge advantage to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can go, you know, take an extended lunch or do whatever and go for a run or go to the beach or, you know, and then that is the big benefit of it. And, pivoting to Becky's point, I think the business of setting up the business can be quite taxing for people because a lot of agencies won't work with an independent consultant unless they actually have an LLC or S corp set up. I don't care. You can work as a sole proprietor as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that would be like me going into Walmart and demanding to know what their corporation structure is before I buy a bottle of water. Could care less. Could care less. you know. So
awesome.
Yeah, but there are three primary ways that you can become an independent. If those of you that are listening aren't 100% sure that this is what you want to do, it may behoove you to not go through the cost of setting up a corporation and getting an EIN and doing all of that type of thing. Go in as a sole proprietor, which just means you're working under your social security number. Now, if you end up, and this is where my disclaimer of not being an accountant really comes into place, because what I will tell you is there are a lot of tax benefits in incorporating. So if you are going to do it long term, I think it's a flawed approach to work under your social security number, because when you start making a lot of money, you have less ability to shelter those monies in retirement, you know, possibilities, your, you know, 401ks, your defined benefits, or whatever you decide to do, because as a sole proprietor, you can't do that. You've got to do it as a company, and then you pay yourself, and then you do this, that, or the other. So there are some things that you want to get with your accountant on to make sure that you have it set up properly. But if you really just kind of want to test the water, I mean, I don't know if you would agree with that or not, but I'd go in as a sole proprietor if I was able
totally
to
agree.
Do that.
No, Angela, I totally agree with that, because for all the reasons you just pointed out, right? It's just once you drop into a contract, once you drop into a corporation, right? It's, I don't, $1,000 to $2,000 to $3,000 a year of stuff that you're just going to throw away, right? And I shouldn't say throw away, that's wrong. You're talking to your accountant, you're talking to the lawyer, you're dealing with, right, various and sundry stuff like that, legal stuff like that. So, but yeah, no, it's a recurring cost, right? And if you don't have to incur that recurring cost, if you're not certain, yeah, then I think sole proprietor is a great way to go. But I also like the fact that you brought out, don't be a sole proprietor as a lifestyle or a lifetime choice, right?
Right.
That's, you stick your toe in the water. Is that water good? It's like, oh, this isn't bad. I could do this, right? After 6 months or whatever it is, incorporate.
Exactly. And you can always work with the agency to let them know that you're shifting gears. It's easy for us to shift it. It's, yeah. You know, it's a change of the W-9 form and the how we report your earnings at the end of the year. And that's it. And So, you know, have those open communications with your agencies so that you can say, this is what I want to do. I want to go. I want to incorporate. I want to do this, that, or the other. And again, get with your accountant, you know, because it's another flawed approach to just work without having that accountant support, because they're worth the money. They're going to help you pay less taxes.
So much less. So much less. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, that was. Yeah. You know, I mean, like anything else, right? You wouldn't go to a physician. You wouldn't go to an auto mechanic that wasn't an expert in the cars, right? We use experts. We do this on purpose, right? Unless, as some of the people listening might be like, oh, I can handle that. I do my own taxes. Yeah. You do your own taxes as a W-2. Okay. And no offense, there's probably a handful of people that are CPAs that are accountancy trained, and that's fine. Good on you. But for the vast majority of us, I think it is absolutely worth going to accountant, even just 1 year or one cycle. If you want to then go, oh, okay, I'm going to choose to take on all this back office stuff. Fine. Good on you. I'm not that guy, right? I take a shoebox full of receipts to my accountant every year, and I'm like, here, y'all deal with this.
Right? It's a really good point, though. I mean, it's the same reason why company sponsors hire you to do their monitoring. Their core business is to create product. Your core business is to monitor. Your core business is to monitor. The accountant's core business is to do your taxes. And by the way, those tax revenue process thingies change every year. And unless going to a class, you're going to miss something. And there's a lot to it, because, you know, whenever you file for your corporation and then you've got to file on the Secretary of State every year, now they've started layering in these other things that you have to do to prove that you're a real person and that you're not a fisher and that you're not doing all this other stuff, right? And if you don't know these things, and you can get into trouble, and some of these fines are like $1,000 a day if you fail to turn stuff in and all of that. I mean, it's stupid. Just pay the people who know what they're doing to do it.
I couldn't agree more. You know, and the only time I've seen this work is I had a colleague whose partner was an actual accountant, right? And that was like, technically they were talking to an expert anyway, right? They were just in the same house. So.
Yeah, I would agree. And you definitely want to come up with a way to track your earnings so that, you know, and it doesn't have to be an expensive QuickBooks thing. There's a lot of freebies or something like that, but you need to be able to track your labor versus your expenses, because most companies at the end of the year, I'm going to give you a 1099 that tells you how much I paid you, but I'm not going to break up what was labor and what was expenses.
Nope.
And so if you haven't tracked that yourself, then you are going to pay different on pass through. Your tax liability on your pass through expenses is completely different than your earnings from your hourly rate. And so now you're going to pay taxes that you really don't need to pay if you're not keeping track of it yourself. Not to mention the fact that if you're working at home as a consultant, your home office, whatever that square footage is, now you're looking, let's say that your square footage is a quarter of your house. So that's 25% of your mortgage, 25% of your homeowners association, 25% of your water, 25% of your power, all of your internet, your cell phone, all of those things. That's now coming off of your earnings statement as tax deductions. And so again, you need to do your homework and kind of understand who's going to be my accountant, who's going to go to audit with me if I get audited, because that makes them culpable and they're going to do a better job because they're now saying, okay, well, if you get audited, I'm going with you. Or if I make a mistake, I pay the penalty, or, you know, that type of thing. So definitely surround yourself by individuals that can help you with that type of thing.
And I would add to that, all that was excellent. I would add to that, not all accountants are created the same.
No, they're not.
All accountants. Right. They are. Right. I'm not going to take a shot at accountants. They're lovely. We love them all. But not all accountants know how we operate and our businesses operate. So that is a situation as a new consultant where if you have resources, if you have a network, if you have people that have been monitors or are monitors or who are in pharmaceuticals as consultants, right, that's who you want to go to. My very first monitor had no freaking idea what I did for a living. I tried to explain it to him over and over and over and over and over and over, and over again, right? It was a nightmare. I finally reached out to my network and I was like, hey, anyone have? And I got like a bunch of good references. So my next accountant was an expert. He actually set up my corporation, right, properly. And was my accountant for a number of years. So having someone who has pertinent experience, similar to CRA, right? You're not going to hire an oncology CRA that's got no oncology experience. That would be weird.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, no, I can do this stuff. I've never done it, but I'm sure it's fine. I'll just muddle my way through. No, it doesn't work that way. Right?
Rhesus what? What is a rhesus?
Yeah, right. Rhesus. Rhesus what? What's a genotype? Yeah, no, we're not doing this. Yeah. You're out. You're out. Get out. But yeah. I think that having an accountant, having a lawyer is less important because a corporation is corporation is corporation. But to me, having an accountant that understands at least in broad strokes what we do for a living, because then they can help you identify potential savings, you know.
And keep you out of jail.
True. I don't like jail. Who likes jail? Who likes jail? Come on.
But it's important, isn't it? Because if you set up, let's say, for example, you set up a corporation, a partnership, an LLC, and then everybody's paying your LLC and you're just using that like your own private checkbook. You're going to get in trouble really quickly.
That ain't good.
And, you know, and things like estimating your taxes and paying, you know, every quarter once, you know, in advance and then truing it up at the end of the year and all that stuff. Your accountant's going to help you be able to set that up and keep track of it so that, again, you're not paying a penalty at the end of the year because you didn't pay all year long and now you've got to make it up. Or last year you paid 20% more and you didn't realize that because of the you can't do the same estimate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it is really important to make sure that you're surrounding yourself by those individuals that can help you manage your business on that side.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we should talk about how to determine how much you can get paid.
Stay tuned for part 3 as we continue our discussion with Lyle G about the business of consulting.